Find Cool Tech, June 8, 2006.
Find Cool Tech. We're fun.
Well, I wanted to play with podcast stuff, okay?
Technology.
A world. Is that how you heard?
And blindness.
Ah, God. Who put that wall there?
And all comes together.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Scootcon, along with my trusty guide dog, Jake. Your host, tripped over a little rock there, Jakey. For this edition of Blind Cool Tech, got several things I want to chat with you about this morning. And let me start off, though, by saying that I am really, really bad about not mentioning the credits. Because, you know, when I do this walk, I don't hear that intro music, and I just put that in at the end. And for those of you that are new on the list, you probably hadn't heard Kai Zhang, but that's some of his work. And, whoa, low branches. And wet. We had some good storms here last night. This is really the hardest part on a guide dog is the overheads. Good boy, little buddy. And then when they're wet, it makes it even harder. And you know, what can they do? They look up, slow down. I mean, you can't completely stop for everyone or you'd never get anywhere. Now, I mean, if it wasn't branches, I believe that he would stop. But anyway, that's Kai Zhang's work. And you know, I hadn't heard from Kai in a while. I hope everything's all right with you. Also, if you look on the credits section of the webpage at blindcooltech.com, good boy, little buddy. How about there is a dumpster there that's been there for a month. And I tried moving it once. Well, it's not a dumpster. It's just one of our big 90-gallon trash cans here that the city distributes. Good boy, little buddy. And there's something rotten in it, too. I'm over here imagining it's a dead body or something. I should call. They have a thing in Louisville called City Call. In fact, I think you just dialed 311. Gee, maybe we could make a podcast out of that, huh? Anyway, if you go to the credits page, good point, little buddy. What are we detouring around here? There's something in the sidewalk. Because he's wanting to take me out in the street. Oh, it looks like a branch down. Can't go straight. Well, he sure doesn't want to. But that's it. Let's just stay left. Okay. Sorry for the distraction there. We had some bad storms last night. In fact, I really should have recorded some of them. There was some really great stereo effects from, I was in my laying in bed at the corner of the house, the northwest corner. And you'd hear one start from the window or the big patio door on the left and go over to the right. It was really pretty cool. But anyway, the credits page has got, well, that needs some work too. But it's got a place where you can click on Kai Zhang's name and check out all this cool intros and sweepers and pieces that he made for Blind Cool Tech. And also you'll see Steve Bauer's name there. You'll know his voice as what comes on at the end. You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. So Jamie Pauls has also got a section up there. And, you know, if anyone else is interested in making some intros or sweepers or whatever you call, you know, the other transitions and so forth. I know it's not an easy, it's not sort of a cookie cutter thing, because Blind Cool Tech is really sort of, you can't really put it into a mold, I guess, like a radio show. And that's true of any podcast. You know, there's no commercial after the first 7 minutes or anything. It's all trash. So anyway, check out that credits page and recognize too that, oh, I do need to do some work on that. Also, what do we got? Another branch? All right, go ahead. Up. You know, a lot of times what you want to do with a guide dog when they stop like that is, you know, get them to bring you up to the obstacle. Now, you just hope the obstacle's not an electric wire. That's the thing I hate about getting out early on the morning after a storm. Now, this isn't really early. I'm talking, you know, getting out at 5 or something before anybody's really had a chance to get out. I'm assuming, leaving right at 7, that if there were any electrical lines down, they would be, someone would know about them by now. There's a, little bit of information there on the credits page. The music that we've been playing in the background is from Andre Louis and also Marcus Quinzer. And, you know, if you're a musician and would like to have some of your music played on Blind Cool Tech, I tell you, what I think is the perfect way to do it is what Sarah Alawemi did on the June 6th. If you look on there, she introduced a piece that her orchestra played, her youth orchestra, and then played the music. It sounded really good too. Well, what is this echo we're in here? I must have covered up this detour. I can't reach the top of it. Let me see over here on the, no? Keep going. Maybe they put something on the right. I've mentioned to you before, I think, that this is a little thing where you actually walk out in the street, and they've set up fencing around it to give pedestrians a detour around some construction, building some condos. And at first I thought they were just apartments, but apparently they're pretty expensive. Good boy, little buddy. All right, the next thing I wanted to talk with you about is the setup that I'm using to record this, because this is probably a little different. I'm actually using the automatic gain control on the Edirol R9, using the Church Audio mics. So this will be a little bit different. I you know, I'm not saying this is going to be the way everyone would want to record, but I'd like to try this out for a day or two. I don't think, you know, recording with the levels is really going to be any different from, you know, noticeably different from doing this on the Microtrack. They're really fairly comparable machines in the recording department, at least until you get down to the more fine details that Neil or Rob or someone can talk about a lot more effectively than I can. I'm just talking about a general, all-around, good recording. And, you know, just the other day I mentioned that the Olympus was one that would give you a... Oh, good. We are going to get a train. Let's listen to it. Hey, just listening to the train. Sorry. Okay, left. So that, of course, is a street between us and the train. And that's all the automatic settings set. So, you know, if my guess is right, I hadn't heard it yet, but I bet it came out pretty nicely. And that is the thing about this recorder. Now, I'm no expert yet, I've only had it a couple days, and I'm going to turn it over to Rob and let him do his analysis on it. But I agree with Jim. They really got the accessibility right on this. I was talking to Rob the other day. There's about three or four things that I wish they could do on this. And, you know, I can understand why they didn't in some cases. But one of them... Once you shut the machine off, slide the hold switch up like you probably will if you're going to leave it off so you don't accidentally... Well, I guess there's not that much chance of accidentally turning it on. Maybe that's my problem. Because what I think would be much better is if you slide the hold switch to off, and then you could just press record without having to turn it on. Just seems like it would make much more sense that way. And I know it's technically possible. The other thing that I think would be excellent would be a little speaker on the device. I mean, I know you're not going to get high fidelity, but just to be able to convey some beeps, like a beep for record, two beeps for pause, and to be able to listen to the playback if you need to. I know the theory is everybody's got earbuds. Good boy. But, you know, it's nice just to be able to pull this thing out of your pocket and use it and know it's working. What do we got in here? Good boy, little buddy. That's it. Hey.
Morning.
A good doggy. That's it, little buddy. Jim described this as the size of an electric razor. That's what else we need to do is just give you the darn measurements. I mean. And you know, I can't remember, Neil may have, but it really reminds me more of a digital camera. Not one of these little thin, sleek ones, but, you know, just a normal digital camera. Not big at all. It's thicker than the MicroTrack, but not as wide. The controls on this are much, much more logically placed than they are on the microtrack. You can actually use this device to listen to your recordings too, and I find that to be a almost fruitless task when doing it on the M-Audio. I mean, I usually just pull the card out of there and transfer the files over to the PC and work with them that way without even messing with them on that recorder. And again, you know, I've said this 100 times, on that microtrack, I was relieved when I could hear it come on recording. This one I can tell already, I expect it to record, you know. Press the record button once, got my monitors, second time, let's go. If you're in doubt, you just hit the stop and hit it twice again. I like that. Good boy, little buddy. Jim mentioned those switches on the back. Very nice to be able to control some of the more oftenly controlled things. The automatic gain control, bass roll off, stereo / mono external mic, and high-low sensitivity on the mic. I actually meant to tell you too, I am using the Church audio mics with this. I actually prefer the Innovative Specialists with Audio-Technica microphones, but I guess it's the shielding or something. I get this RF noise with them a lot of times. So we'll just do with these for the moment. Good boy, little buddy. That's it. I'm still amazed too with the quality of the built-in mics on the Adderall. Like Neil was saying, I think if you could somehow clip this to your shirt collar, like I always wear my book port, you would have a pretty ideal recording environment. It'd almost be like the whole device was your microphone. It's not quite that small yet, but it's getting there. Let's see, what is it at? What else about those controls that I really like? Oh, I meant to tell you, yeah, I accidentally turned on the bass roll-off the other day when I was doing the AGC, the automatic gain control, playing around with the dogs and the wind chimes. Okay, good boy. Yeah, he's a little boy. Okay, let's go on under. That's it. There you go, little buddy. Thank you. He's a good doggy. Jake is really good at these overheads. I mean, he can tell if they're just going to brush me. You know, it's funny, he's the first dog I've seen that does as much looking up, you know, watching the overheads. And I really feel sorry for him because I need to come through here and trim this up, make it a little easier for him. Because this part, it does get tough. There's all kinds of little trees between the sidewalk and the road here. They look nice, but sometimes the branches get a little low. And I honestly don't know what kind of trees they are. They have little berries on them sometimes, though. And you know, I think there might be some dogwoods intermixed with them, too. I'll have to find that out. But yeah, if you could wear that Adderall R9... either, you know, hanging around your neck, kind of, it'd have to be where it wouldn't flop around when you bent over or anything. Well, unless you don't plan on bending over, of course. Good boy, little buddy. Yeah, we got a clear shot here. Flipping along at a pretty good little rate. Feels very nice out this morning, too. We had a few days of some really hot weather. I got outvoted on leaving the AC off, but now that we have that little pool on the back patio, maybe we can leave it off a little longer. If you get hot, just go lay in the pool.
Morning, Larry.
Good morning, how you doing?
Same shit, different name.
I hear ya. That's my friend that I met here at the... Oh, he's waiting on a bus. Good boy, forward. But he's the one I was telling you about. You heard it, I think, that he was a beer distributor. And I think that day he was going up to the second leg of the Triple Crown. Saratoga, is it? No, it might be Belmont. Man, I should know that, shouldn't I? Good boy, little buddy. Whoa. Now that's the thing you gotta watch out for around here after it rains. This little, very skim, slick spot there in that driveway, but there's two or three streets that will have it too. In fact, Ewing's one of them, and Bailey's the other one. Yeah, and that's odd, because that's where the most cars go. I bet it's oil drippings and stuff like that. Don't know. Good boy, little buddy. But you know, those internal mics, I know, wouldn't be the best for everything, but they would certainly do an adequate job. I mean, I don't think you can complain about the quality of this. And Neil has a good point, and Rob always tells me this too, the dynamic range isn't going to be as much. And yeah, I agree. But I don't know, I guess it's all matters of taste and what you're trying to convey when you record. So far though, you know, if you've got, I mean, what's the street price on these things? $350? And given the fact that you can use those internal mics to get some decent recordings, that's pretty much everything you need. You may need a truckload of batteries. I'm still on the first set on this. I'm suspecting that this recording is going to be about the last on it, though. I've really only recorded probably not even 2 hours. And they say you get four out of it. I've got something kind of important I want to record today, though, so I'll probably go ahead and throw a new set in there. What are you guys doing to measure your batteries? For, you know, how much is left in them? Or do you just not care? Rob uses the book port, and I've used it too. I really wish you could just measure one battery at a time, because I'm sure that throws all kinds of inaccuracies into what you're looking at. Plus, I think it depends too on how you're using them when you measure them. Now, back to this Eddyroll R9. I didn't find taking the SD card out to be too difficult. It's kind of an odd setup down there. There's a little spring-loaded slide that you slide over with your finger and then pull the whole bottom towards you, and it exposes the USB port and the SD card, and you can just push in on the card and it'll pop out. When you do that, be sure and observe the orientation. There's a little lip where your fingers are as you grasp the card, and then on the other end of the card there are some little fingers that you can detect tactily. Now the most fun I had with the whole SD card experience is finding the slot in my Sony machine where it went. I really found myself hoping I wasn't going to drop it into a hole and not be able to ever find it again. But eventually I did find the right slot, and I guess I should have known, but I hadn't done one on the Sony before, but I know the HP upstairs, the media center computer, doesn't spring push out the SD cards. You know, you just seat it in there manually and pull it out. The Sony, though, I noticed, did let you push it in, and then to get it out, you just push it in again and it popped out. And I imagine that's the way it's going to be on the reader, the external card reader that I use at work. Also noticed the IBM ThinkPad laptop that I've been using has got an SD card slot built right into the side of it, so this is kind of neat. They seem to me to be a little too little, but you know, maybe I can just put them in a carrying case if that's a problem for me. Good boy, little buddy. Now, the batteries on this are another matter. And I'll be changing batteries today. I had them exposed the other day. It's really a little bit too complicated. Good boy, little buddy. I think I can see why they did the batteries this way, though, because bending contacts from user replaceable batteries is an issue in a consumer device. We've learned that lesson with Bookport. I'm not saying those are the best battery contacts in the world or not. I did bend them once when I dropped my Bookport down the basement stairs. That did do one of them in. But I kind of have a vague idea of the kinds of repairs that are coming in, and just from keeping up on the list, that the battery contacts, you know, that's one of those things that if it happens, an intermittent connection happens at the wrong time, like during a firmware update, that's not good. So if we can eliminate that whole aspect of it. Now, what Eddyroll did, though, is they've made this lid where it just pushes down and gives you the a good tight connection. So it pushes down and then slides over on a little rail. We'll see how they work out. I hadn't got the answer either. I don't think Neil or Jim knew if you put rechargeables in it, if they'll actually recharge when you plug in the AC. I did download the manual, looked it over before I got the device, but hadn't really looked at it since. That was really helpful information from Jim and Neil. And I hope these kind of things can continue to proliferate where we can all share info like that. Good boy, little buddy. Wow, something smells. Oh, that's the onion bagels from Nancy's Bagels across the street. Whoa, that yielded loose a pang of hunger. I think that to the left there was a catering service. I should just pop in there and see one day. Good boy, little buddy. So that'll be good to know if the batteries will, if you do put rechargeable batteries in. There is a menu item for rechargeable. Whether the unit will actually charge them or not. That'd be nice to not have to get in there quite so often. I don't know what, you know, if the record time is affected by, well, I'm sure it is, by what kind of rechargeable battery you use. I think I heard the number 4 hours of recording for alkaline batteries. I haven't been a big rechargeable battery fan, but I admit I used them. I mean, we all do with our cell phones. That was one thing I usually did not mind with the M-Audio MicroTrack. I learned that I will take the AC adapter with me with that unit, because the USB power on that IBM ThinkPad it didn't seem to give it as much of a charge, and that's not scientific, you know. It could have been something else going on. That's something I'll be watching, let me put it that way. Or, you know what, actually, I probably won't even give it another chance. I'll just plug it in and not have to worry about it. I'm waiting to cross Frankfurt Avenue here. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about today was design of the website. And I've been looking at some of these content management systems like Drupal and WordPress and Blogger and Community Server. Jeff pointed out to me yesterday. And I've actually done a little bit of configuring with Drupal and...
Walk sign, Frankfurt Avenue.
Good boy. Really like what I see so far. Probably give me another week or so and I'll have it set up where you guys can do some preliminary looking around. But it really brought up the point of an elegant design that's totally accessible from a web-based perspective. And with the exception of the menu bar on Blind Cool Tech at the top, which I've really toyed around with the idea of just having an item that said menu, but still people really don't always find what they're looking for on there. And that's what I like about the idea of these content management systems. These are the kind of things where several people can contribute, and you can configure them in a number of ways. But there's a lot of things I don't like about them too, but I think they can be customized out. As I was looking at some other examples around, you know, one of the things I hate the most about any of these bulletin board systems and forums and stuff is there's too much header information. You know, really, I think it's probably sufficient to know who it's from and maybe even the day. I don't know if you even need to know that, but I certainly don't need to know the hour, the minute, and the second, and what time it is in Swahili. So, you know, if you could just say, from Josh Moore, subject, that was a great podcast, Neil. Body, I had one question about what happens when the recording fills up the memory card. That exchange like that and Neil's reply to that would stay, or anybody's reply would stay associated with the recording that Neil made. Now that also brings up the question, what if somebody points out an error? And I had this conversation with Neil a long time ago. I've always thought of this site as being, well, it's news at first, but it then becomes history. So in other words, once something goes up there and you want to change it, instead of going back and changing the old one, just put up a new one. And, you know, with this content management system, you can actually point people to the new one, or eventually, as much material as flows through there, the old one will fade into obscurity quickly anyway. Which also brings up this interface that I've got about part of it going on Drupal. So you start out and you get right into the podcast. I still like the Google AdSense part up there too, because, man, I really want to click on some of those links. I'm not allowed to, but they're starting to put some up there about microphones. And I like it when they have the web address. I can actually just go to that address without being penalized for clicking on those links. But anyway, yeah, the webmaster is not allowed to click on the Google links because they get counted. That is some fascinating technology. That there was actually a good article in the New York Times last Thursday about all the things that go into what is displayed on those ads, including time of day, what part of the country you're in or the world, of course what's on your web page. I think probably what people have responded to in the past, timings on all that. And, you know, Blind Cool Tech is not, CNN or anything. There's, you know, if you do, like, Yahoo or Google searches, and, you know, I can't remember how many people a day do that, but that kind of ad revenue generates billions of dollars. And the slightest little change to their algorithms is, you know, potentially very lucrative or disastrous. So, really interesting stuff. Check it out. You go to NewYorkTimes.com, their technology section. The other thing, so you get this web page that just starts listing out the most recent contributions the way the current Blind Cool Tech does. But then after about, 10 or 20 or some number you can set if you want. I'd say you'd probably want to default to 10 or 20. You have a link that says more recent posts. And then you have links for each of the categories. Now this would also assume that your category numbers didn't get out of hand. And I think on Blind Cool Tech we can probably break it down currently into half a dozen at the most, you know, tutorials, cooking, product demos, / reviews, music, comedy, careers, spaces. And so you would have those links there, and if someone picked one of those, it would actually go to another list that was just the casts in that category. Good boy, little buddy. Now there's also, you would want to be able to, I don't know how to work out the part about, I like clicking on the title and getting the MP3 so you don't clutter up the main page. Though it might be important to click on the title and open another page that would give you a chance to comment on the article, get some size and time information, listen to the article from there. So I don't know, you know. The other thing about this Drupal setup and other content management systems is I know you can set it up so that the administrator can, for instance, give a group of people the right to directly publish their podcasts onto the site. So, you know, with Blind Cool Tech, there's quite a few of you that are very regular contributors. And, you know, we could set you up with an account that you just get on there, upload your thing, describe it, and then it would just automatically show up. It's really nice. And, you know, I want to get all this streamlined so that I want it to be better than what it is now. And I don't want it cluttered up with too many links and too much garbage. Because, you know, that's the fun thing about it. You can pretty well, you know, run through that first page or two and get an idea of what's new up there. All right, we've got a lot more to talk about on that, and I want to ask, you know, you guys some questions and ideas. Again, thank you, Kai Zhang, Steve Bauer, Jamie Pauls, Andre Louie, Marcus Quinn, all you guys that have put production, Neil, I mean, every one of you, thank you to all you contributors. Really, we've turned this into some awesome exchange, and I'd like to keep moving it forward. Y'all have a great one, and we'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.